Let us pray.
Come, Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts through these words now, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today is our Stewardship Sunday, and it's always difficult to keep a church going, and it certainly is even more difficult to keep people happy in the church. Quite often when you think of stewardship, some people think about giving their money to the church, and they do so on the basis of how happy the church makes them feel, rather than upon how thankful they are to God and how grateful they are for His blessings. There was a family that was returning home from church one Sunday, and the father, as he was driving, said to the rest of the family, "You know that rector, I just don't know about him. His sermons get more and more boring each Sunday." And then the wife chimed up and she said, and that organist, if she were to play one more sour note, I think I would have screamed. And the daughter in the back seat said, and that first soprano, who said that she could sing? Whoever said that is tone deaf, obviously. Well, this went on for a while. They were driving along, and finally the other person in the car, the little boy in the family, said, "Well, you know, I thought we got a pretty good show for a dollar." When our giving is based upon our feelings, then we can feel like we're paying for a performance. But in reality, our services are designed not to be a performance, but rather they're structured so that we might truly worship God. Sometimes we confuse our work in ministry with our stewardship of money. There was a painter in California who was asked by the rector to help out with the capital campaign they were raising from the church. And the painter said, "Well, you know, I'm broke, but what I'll do is I'll give you one of my paintings, which I think is worth about $300. And so at the end of the capital campaign, the rector came to him again and said, "You know, we're just about $100 short at our goal, and what if you could help us?" And he said, "Well, you know what I'll do? I'll raise the price of my painting up to $400. Some churches have great endowments which they can rely on, or wealthy people to support the church. We don't have either one here, but sometimes I wish we did, and other times I'm glad that we don't. There was a rector of a church one time who was approached by a family, and they asked him, would he come and talk to the husband of the family and let him know that he had inherited $2 million. But the husband was someone that had a real bad heart condition, and they were afraid if they were to tell him that he had inherited $2 million that he would have a heart attack. And so the rector said, "Okay, I'll talk to him." They thought maybe he would have the right words to say. And so he went to the husband and he said, "Joe, let me ask you a hypothetical question. What would you do if you inherited $2 million? And and Joe said, "Well, I'd probably give half of it to the church." And the rector fell over dead. I want to ask you a question. What sets some churches apart from other churches, regardless of how big they are, how many members they have, how large their attendance is? What sets them apart? I think one of the things that sets churches like that apart is that they're filled with the spirit of generosity. And that's certainly something we see in our second lesson today from 2 Corinthians. So if you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles again to our second lesson from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I think that's on page 1799, somewhere around there. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about the Macedonian church. And he's really praising the Macedonian church for what they did. And as he describes what they did, he's really trying to encourage the Corinthian church at the same time. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of this very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Here was a church that was very poor in terms of the money that the congregation had. And so in spite of this, it says they welled up in rich generosity. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, In other words, Paul didn't have to cajole them. He didn't have to browbeat them. He didn't have to guilt them into giving. It says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. In other words, they urgently pleaded to give to the ministry of the church. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. You do know that God doesn't need our money, right? And so what God really desires is that we give our hearts and our lives to Him first. And as we give our hearts and our lives to Him, then we begin to get a proper perspective of what He appreciates in terms of our giving, what He wants us to give in terms of our finances. And so He says, and they exceeded our expectations, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So after they gave themselves to the Lord, then they gave themselves to the work of the church. And so he urged Titus, just as he had earlier been made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Titus was given the responsibility of bringing in these funds, these finances, for the work of the church. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, the Corinthian church was known for their spiritual gifts. They were known for using their spiritual gifts for the benefit of the church and even misusing them sometimes. And Paul was explaining that even though they have these spiritual gifts that they have, he says, even though you have those gifts and are in complete earnestness and in love we have kindled for you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So he's saying, you're doing great in terms of spiritual gifts. What I'd like you to do is also excel in the grace of giving. There's a good friend of mine in California who told me about a friend of hers named Teresa. And Teresa had just gotten a new part-time job, and she received her first paycheck at the end of September. And as she received this paycheck, it was just enough to cover her rent and her tithe. So she thought about fudging on her tithe because she had another bill that she had to pay as well. And so she was really struggling with this, but she finally decided that she was going to obey God and trust in Him to provide for her. And so she gave the full tithe as she usually did. And then she had a small business out of town that was in a mall. She sold antiques in a mall. And so she would call this business from time to time to see how things were going. The shopkeeper said, there's a lady that's trying to get a hold of you. And so she called this lady, and the lady had fallen on hard times and had owed Teresa a large amount of money. And so Teresa, you know, said that said hello and that sort of thing. And the lady told her that she was now able to pay her the money that she owed. And she had sent her a check in the mail. And had Teresa received this check yet? And Teresa said, no, I hadn't received it yet. But in a couple of days, she did receive the letter with the check in it. And the check turned out to be the exact amount to the penny of what Teresa owed on this outstanding bill. So Teresa excelled in this grace of giving, and she ended up being blessed as a result. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, Paul urges the Corinthian church to come through with the pledge that they made to the church. They were inspired by the Macedonian church's generosity, and Paul wanted to make sure that their commitment would be fulfilled. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And as I've stated in the past, that word in the Greek language for cheerful giver really is the word from which we get the word hilarious. So God loves a hilarious giver. And so God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God is able to bless us so that we can then be a further blessing to others in doing the good works that He wants us to do. Each year we ask our members to make a pledge to the church, and many people make a pledge. Some people make a pledge because they kind of don't want to feel like they're the only ones that aren't doing it. Others make a pledge because they want to fit in. Still others make a pledge because they don't want to feel guilty. But I would encourage you, if you choose to make a pledge this year, that you do so, first of all, by giving yourself to the Lord, and then secondly, by really remembering that that your giving should be based upon the inspiration that God gives you to give. And that inspiration is that which he speaks to you about what he would have you to do for his work in the kingdom. And so as God might speak to your heart, you might feel inspired to make a pledge today. And if you do feel that inspiration, realize that sometimes during the year, that inspiration, that feeling of wanting to give might wane a bit. So you might remind yourself of some of the things we've talked about today. And also remind yourself that God is good and God can provide for all of our needs. And he wants to take care of us as we take care of him, his church, and his kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to express our gratitude and our appreciation for all you've done for us through our tithes and offerings. And I pray, Lord, that you would inspire us through your Holy Spirit in the direction of what you would have us to do for the support of the ministry of this church in 2020. I pray, Lord, that as you do so, you will also provide for all of our needs so that we will be able then to give with a generous and grateful heart, and that we will be able then to continue on the work of the ministry of your church and of your kingdom. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful in our commitment, and that you would use the gifts that we have with the gratitude with which we give them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.